love that. Today I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 15. As we finish this chapter this morning, I want to talk to you about the best laid plans. If you're familiar with Robert Burns' poem To a Mouse, you know the best laid plans of mice and men, what, they often go awry, don't they? Not always, but often they do. But listen, just because you have some unintended consequences, you know, maybe things don't work out the way that you expected or the way that you thought or according to plan, still doesn't mean that you shouldn't make plans. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't, you know, that you just simply act off the cuff because if my plans aren't going to work out, then I shouldn't make plans at all. That's not true. In fact, Jesus warns people against not making good plans. He says if you're building a tower, then you need to count the cost. You need to make your plans. If you're a king who's going to war, then you need to make your plans. When you turn over to the book of James, he talks about a businessman who says, I'm going to go to such and such city, I'm going to spend a year there, and I'm going to make a profit. Now, James doesn't say that he should not make those plans. What he does say is this, what he should say is, if the Lord wills, we will go to such and such a place, we will spend so much time there, and we will do such and such. In other words, as I'm making plans, I need to make sure and include the Lord in my plans. He has a plan for your life. You know that, right? He has a plan that is specific for you, and you need to discover what God's purpose and what God's plan is in your particular life, and then follow that. So as I make plans, I need to make sure that I'm in tune with what God would have me to do. Where he wants me to go, what he wants me to say, how he wants me to act, whatever kind of plans that you're making, I need to make sure and consult the Lord on those things as I go along. And then, when I make those plans, I need to make sure and give God full veto power on the back end. So I'm considering the Lord at the beginning, I'm making those plans, I'm going to work those plans, and I'm considering the Lord at the other end of that. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm seeking God's will, I'm seeking God's face, I'm making plans to be obedient, and I'm simply trusting the Lord with those results. We're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. It may very well be that in Vacation Bible School one time you learned these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That verse that you learned as a child is still important and imperative for you today, even as an adult, as you make plans on where to live, what kind of job to have, where to go to school, what to major in. All of those decisions of life are all contained within God's will and God's purposes as He reveals that in His Word. So I want us to look at this passage today and see what it is that Paul has to say to us about making of plans even when they don't turn out exactly right. And you'll see what I mean as we go through. If you have your Bible already there, turn with me. Romans chapter 15, stand together. Let's read beginning where we left off last week, which is verse number 22. Paul says, for this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. If he puts his amen there, let's pray along with him. Father, at the end of this, Paul says he begs us. He begs that Roman church to pray along with him. We beg today and implore on behalf of men like Paul, churches like those in Rome, that your will, your purposes, your plans would come to fruition and that they would not fail. Father, we pray that we would never get in the way of what you intend to do in the life of our church, in our city, in our state, and in our world, but instead that we would work side by side along with you, partnering together, striving together in the fellowship of the gospel, that others might come to know you as Lord and Savior, that their life might be changed both for now and for all of eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Paul has great plans. He has made some wonderful plans. If I were to sum this up, what we've read here today is a part of this conclusion. You know, he's enlightening them during this conclusion, saying, now that I've written to you about what to believe and now that I've written to you about what to do, in conclusion, I'm introducing myself to you and I want to come to you. I want to come see you. Remember, Rome is a church that Paul has never been to. He's not the founder of the church. He's never pastored the church. He's never physically been there himself. And he says, I'm making plans, though. I want to come to you. I've been busy right now, and I'm finishing up what I'm doing here. And when I'm through here, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And after I've been there for a while, then I'm going to come to you. And after I've stayed with you for a little while, then I'm going on to Spain. These are good plans. These are great plans that Paul has made for taking the gospel, as he said in those verses we looked at last week, as taking the gospel to places where it's never been preached before. These are his plans. And now he's offering those plans up before the Lord and saying, now God, I want you to bless these plans. And what we're going to find out as you read through the book of Acts, as you read through some of the other epistles, Paul's never going to make it to Rome, at least not as a preacher. He'll go there as a prisoner, and he'll never make it to Spain, even though it says for years his heart's desire has been to go there, even though he's made plans. God has simply said no. When I was about to be a junior in college, I'd finished my sophomore year, was finishing it up, and began to pray about what God would have me to do with the rest of my life. You know, you're at that point, You're halfway through your college experience and your major is just about done and, you know, you're starting to think about jobs on the other end and, you know, what's life going to look like once you really do kind of get out on your own and you're doing those things. And so I begin to spend my quiet times just asking the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? I drew that to your attention last week when Paul asked that question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I found myself in that same kind of setting. I was an art major. My plan was, my thoughts were, I want to go work for an advertising agency. One of these days, I want to own my own commercial art firm. I want to be able to do billboards of all things. You know, I want to do things that are seen, things that are practical. I want to do that kind of artwork. I want to do graphics. And so that's what I had begun to prepare for and what I had planned for. I was reading along in my Bible, and do you recall the place where it says that Elijah was listening for the voice of God, and it says that a thunderstorm came by, but God wasn't in the thunder. And it says a whirlwind came through, and God wasn't in the wind. And then it says there was this still, small voice. I had spent all of my time talking to God like a whirlwind. Talking to God like some kind of storm. God, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to gain glory for it, and it's going to be wonderful and good, and thank you very much. And then I read through that and I thought, I need to be quiet for a little bit. I just need to listen. I have never heard the voice of God with my ears. But I've heard the voice of God deeper than that. And that day, I recall and I knew at that moment that he was calling me into ministry. And I thought, wait a minute, God, I'm sorry. You got the wrong number. That's not me. So I went through the stuff with Moses. I thought, God, I don't talk right. I mean, I talk like a southern hick, you know. You can't use that. I don't like to talk to big crowds. You can't use that. I was an art major because I didn't want to study, you know. I don't want to do those things. God, this is not me. Tell you what, God, thank you for considering me. Thank you for picking that out. I want you to know that I'm grateful for that. But you've given me this other talent, and that's what I'm going to do. And so as I prayed, what I really was looking for was not an answer to the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? What I was looking for was, God, will you give me your seal of approval? Will you say, Tim, yes, you are on the right track, and I'm going to bless you, and that's going to be wonderful. Listen, if you ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? And he tells you something, and you're not comfortable with it, will you ask? You have to be willing to obey no matter what. And I wasn't willing. And I marched myself right on up there to Athens. I enrolled right there into that art school and fell flat. Man, stuff I feel like I'd been doing my whole life. You know, you get a mental picture, you put it down on paper. How hard is that, right? I got up there, I couldn't do it. This is my interpretation of my own self. I believe God took it away. I think what God was saying was, you're determined to go down this path, then go down it on your own. You think you're Mr. Hot Stuff? Well, let's see what you got. It didn't take more than just a couple of months. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever. I can't have a will in this anymore. I don't have a stake in this. I don't have to have my way. You do with me whatever it is that you want to do. Let me tell you something. That's the point that you need to be at. Does that mean then that you don't plan? I tell you, I got in a crisis at that point. I'm halfway through an art degree. Now what do I do? You know, I don't know what do preachers do? You know, you go to Bible college. I didn't know anybody that had been through those things, so I didn't know what to do. So I just began to pray, God, what do I do now? How do I prepare? I can't take a canvas up on the pulpit. I can't take pottery up there and say, hey, y'all watch this. This will be great. You know, and be done with it. Can't do that. How do I prepare for those things? God laid out for me not a full manuscript and said, Tim, this is what your life's going to look like. He said, Tim, this is what you do next. And then when I got to that point, he said, this is what you do next. And I'm still waiting on the next, you know? What's he got next? What do I get to do next? Listen, what are you doing? I'm telling you through the midst of this, not to not plan, but to plan in accordance with the will of God. Did you hear him praying that when he says, I'm begging you to pray along with me in verse number 32? He says, I want the will of God. I want God's will. So what he's doing is he's saying, God, I'm making plans, but I'm giving you the ability to veto any plans that I have. I'm going to art school. I'm going to major in this. God, you have the veto right. You have the right to be able to say, now, that's for nothing. Let's move on to something else. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give him veto power, even if it's an area that you're comfortable with? Make your plans and trust God. If you don't get anything else out today, that's it. But I want us to go through this passage. I want to show you some characteristics of good plans. Making good plans, the best plans, Number one, the best plans are proper. The best plans are proper. They're the right kinds of plans. They're according to the revealed Word of God. Paul is writing a missionary letter about missions. He's talking about being a missionary in Rome and in Spain and in these other areas. He has plans according to those lines. So what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Do you notice as you go through these verses, verse number 25 and 26 and 31, what's he talking about? I'm going to Jerusalem. In verse 31, he talks about going to Judea. In verse 26, in verse 23, in verse 24, in verse 28, he's talking about going to the world, to Macedonia and Achaia and to Rome and to Spain. The plans that he's making are in accord with the written Word of God. They are proper. Are the plans that you're making, are they properly aligned with what God has already revealed? Listen, if you're making plans to do something that is outside of the will of God, you're going to do something that is not noble. You're going to do something that is self-serving and self-sufficient. It's not the proper kind of plan, is it? I want a plan that is properly aligned with who God is and with what God says. The best plans are proper. Number two, the best plans are precise. The best plans are precise. The more detailed your plan, the better. The better. You know, next week is the Southern Baptist Convention. So last year, I got sick and I didn't get to go to Southern Baptist Convention. So as we began to talk, Dana and I, we said, you know what? We need to go. We need to represent our church. We need to represent Columbus Baptist. We need to represent Georgia Baptist. I need to represent the RLC. I need to be able to go and to be there. So we need to go. Where's it going to be? It's going to be in Phoenix. Okay? We need to go to Phoenix. Is that it? No. You got to get there, right? Once you do get there, you got to have somewhere to stay, right? Listen, the more detailed that your plans are, the better those plans are coming to bear. Make your plans precisely. If I could, if I could edit an old army saying, prior planning prevents poor performance, right? Make your plans. Make them proper. Make them precise. Paul is doing that. He's saying, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to Jerusalem, but I've already been to Macedonia, and I've already been to Achaia. And when I was in Macedonia and Achaia, I received an offering from them. They gave an offering for disaster relief for the believers that are in Jerusalem. So I've gone there, and I've picked up their offering, and now my plan is to go to Jerusalem and to deliver that offering to them. What's the use in going to Jerusalem in the middle of their disaster if he's just going to sightsee? He's been precise. He says, I got to go to Macedonia and Achaia first, and when I get there, I'll get their offering, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And I got to do that first because they're in need and they're urgent. Then I can come to you, and then I can go to Spain. He's precise, and you need to be precise in your planning. Number three, the best plans are practical. They're practical. In other words, it's meeting a real, genuine need. When he says in verse number 25, now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in the middle of a nasty famine. And it's the believers that suffered more than anybody else. Those believers that were in Rome, when they said yes to Jesus, many of them said no to their jobs. When they said yes to Jesus, many of them said no to their families. When they said yes to Jesus, they said no to the places where they would live. And so now these that are already hurting are hurting all the more because of the famine. And so he says these people need some practical help. I need to do something for them. And so the Bible says in the book of Acts that he went to Macedonia. And he went to Achaia. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that while he's there, they said, we want to help them. They helped get the gospel to us. Now we want to help them in some way. Paul, will you take this offering and give it to them? Be practical in your planning. Number four, the best plans are positive. They're positive. Look at verse number 29. He says in verse 29, I know that when I come to you, I know. What is it that you know? What do you know that God wants you to do? What do you know that you can plan on? What do you know that you can prepare for? Listen, those things that you are certain of, that's what you begin to make plans towards. A guy comes and says, I believe that God's called me into ministry. That same kind of thing that I just told you about with my own calling. Somebody comes and says, I believe that that's how I'm called. A call to minister is a call to prepare. A call to minister is a call for planning. You have got to make those plans in the best way that you know how, and those things are positive to be able to say, I know that this is what I'm going to do. He says, when I come, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I know that when I come, I'm going to have Christ's blessing in bringing the gospel. How does he know that? How does he know that Christ is going to bless him taking the gospel to Spain and to Rome? Because that's what's revealed in his word. That's what God does want. He does want you on mission. He does want you sharing the gospel. So he is going to bless those things. What it is that you know about, that's what you can be positive about. Let me give you a fifth one. Even the best plans are still problematic. They're still problematic. You can still have problems in the midst of those things. Paul has a number of things that are hindering him as he goes through his plan making, and you'll find some of those as well. Jot this verse down. It's Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. It may be the best verse outside of this that I'll share with you concerning planning. It says this, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way. You plan your way, but allow God to direct your steps. If you were to go just about three chapters over, it's in Proverbs chapter 19. The Bible says this, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, this will stand. You cannot leave God out of your planning. Let me say this about plans that are problematic. If you don't include God at the front end of your plans, if you don't include God at the back end of those plans, then your plans are riddled with problems already. How can you make plans as a child of God outside of knowing what God's will is? How can you continue to press forward and say, like I did so stubbornly, God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm going to do this instead. It is filled with problems. So even if you have consulted the Lord on the front end, even if you have given him full veto power on the back end, then know this, there are still some problems that can come in the midst of your best laid plans. Let me give you a few of these. Your note's actually a shy one. There should be four of them. I'm going to give you all four, okay? I'm not going to cheat you today. You're going to get the full thing, all right? Number one is this, habits. Sometimes habits hinder our plans. Sometimes habits hinder our plans. When Paul begins this section, verse number 22, by saying, for this reason, what reason? He's been talking about taking the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, all the way in those places. And he says, that's what I'm doing. Every Sabbath, I'm going there and preaching to the Jews. Every Sunday, I'm going and taking the gospel to the Gentiles. That becomes his mode of operation. That becomes his norm. That's his habit. You have some habits that will keep you from doing in the same way that Paul said for years. He says, I've had a desire these many years to come to you. Well, why hasn't he done that? Because he's busy. He's busy. And you're busy with all of the things that you have to do. There's always something that's going to keep you. Listen, I don't know what your days are like. Maybe it is you get up in the morning, you get breakfast ready for the kids, you eat breakfast yourself, you get them fed, you get yourself ready, you get them ready, you take them to school, you go to work, you spend all kind of time at work so that you're working all the way through lunch. When you finally get off, then you got to go pick up the kids, then you got to get them to their ball game, then you got to go home and you got to help with homework, and then you got to fix supper, and then you got to get them bathed, and then you got to bathe, it's a nightmare. I don't know if that really is what your day is like, but I do know this, that everybody's busy. Everybody's days are filled with stuff that you do. And it's those things that you do all the time, those things that keep you busy, that can hinder you from doing the thing that God's really called you to do, the next thing. The next thing. Sometimes the biggest hindrance to greatness is the mundane. It's just being bogged down in the daily grind of life. Habits can hinder our plans. Number two, hardships. Hardships can hinder our plans. We keep mentioning verse number 25 about him going to Jerusalem. You know, he's going there to Jerusalem because of that famine. He's going there to take some kind of relief. There's hardship that's there. It's an emergency. It's an urgency. Yes, he needs to go to Jerusalem, and he needs to go there now because they're hurting. It's those kind of hardships, though, that still are keeping him away from Rome. They're keeping him away from Spain. They may be keeping you from what God has revealed to you that you need to do. Emergencies are going to happen. Urgencies are going to happen. You have to plan around those things as best you can. Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus goes to their house. And Martha's in the kitchen, and man, she's working, and she's cooking, and she's cleaning, she's getting everything ready. She is the perfect hostess. Mary is sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him as he teaches. Martha comes out and says, Jesus, make Mary come help me. I'm doing all the work, and she's doing nothing. She's sitting there. Now, Jesus didn't rebuke Martha and say, hey, the dishes will clean themselves. You know why? Because dishes don't clean themselves. And food don't cook itself. But he said this, Mary has chosen the better thing. You say, yeah, but emergencies, urgencies, hardships. I don't have a choice. You always have a choice. That's the point. You always have a choice. Sometimes, though, those hardships can hinder your plans. Now, those things are going to happen. The daily grind of life, the busyness, those habits that you're in, those emergencies that come up, those things are going to happen. But let me give you a third one. Hurdles, not turtles, hurdles can hinder our plans as well. And sometimes these are not so friendly. Look at what he says in verse number 31. He says, pray with me. I want you to strive together with me in prayers. He says, so that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. In other words, there were people in Judea who had hindered him. Listen to these verses. I want to go back to the book of Acts for just a minute. This is in Acts chapter 13. Verse number 50 says this. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. These unbelieving people in Judea expelled him from there. Just a few verses later in chapter 14 and verse number 2 says, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Same chapter, verse number 19. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Three times in 22 verses, Paul has a hurdle. He has somebody who has come up against him and said, no, you get out of here. We don't want you here. throwing rocks at him, whatever it is, to hinder the plans that he has in presenting that gospel to people who have never heard. You're going to find some hurdles like that. You're going to have some people just like that that are going to come and say, you shouldn't do that. Don't consider that. They would have people that would say to me, Tim, listen, if you want to be an artist, then you be an artist. I'd be at the Holiday Inn with the other starving artists selling my little paintings over there. You do what you want to do. You follow your dream. You follow your heart. No. No. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do not follow your heart. You follow the Lord. He's never going to lead you astray, ever. You have to listen to Him. Listen, those hurdles are going to come. But this last one that I have for you is maybe the most difficult one to swallow. The Holy Spirit can hinder our plans. The Holy Spirit can hinder our plans. I'm going to go ahead a chapter. I'm going to go to chapter 16. This is the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. They're getting ready to go, and the they is Paul and Silas, Dr. Luke, and young Timothy now is with them. And when I get down to verse number 6, it says, they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. And then notice this. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Paul gathers Luke and Timothy and Silas and says, this is the plan. We're going to Phrygia. We're going to Galatia, and when we're there now, we're going to Asia. We're going to Mysia, we're going to Bithynia, we're going to all these places, and we're going to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit says, no. No. Why is that hard to swallow? Because I want God's plans for me to be my plans. I want those burdens that I have to be burdens there because God's placed them there, and I want Him to fulfill those things in my life. What if He just says no? I'll give you a burden for that place so that you'll pray for them. I'll give you a burden for that place so that you'll give to them. I'll give you a burden to that place so you'll send somebody else. What if God says no to your plans? Will you still trust Him? Will you still trust God when He says no? If you're not prepared to trust Him when He says no, then you're not prepared to trust Him when He says yes. Why? Because you're not going to depend on Him. If you're not going to trust Him when He says no, you're not going to trust Him when He says yes, because you're going to depend on yourself when He says yes and not Him. I remember watching the A-Team when I was growing up. He'd always say, I love it when a good plan comes together. Good plans don't always come together. And when they do, they're wonderful. And when they don't, they're still wonderful. Because God has something else in store. Let's pray. I don't know really what you're planning for.